Hi, by the way. You know, when Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, agreed to start the impeachment investigation, which indeed is the beginning of impeachment exercises, she very clearly said and stated and opened with the fact that this is a sad moment in our history, that impeachment is never a good thing. It's a sad, sad moment. Nancy, the presidency has been the sad moment. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think you get that, Nancy. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. We have been, when Trump became president, he said, I'm going to clear the swamp. Apparently, it was swampy around here. And what he did was he dove into the swamp head first, filled it up with more mud, and exceeded the banks of the very swamp that he dove into. So Trump has basically taken this like 50 steps worse than it was to begin with. So now that we're starting to see exactly what type of government, quote unquote, he's been running, and it's all right in front of us in very, very simple terms, nothing to argue about, that's a good thing. That makes me happy. It's a shame, though, Don. May I call you Don? It's just a shame that you keep saying that you have the smartest brain of everybody. You use only the best words. I mean, seriously, it's not even a sentence. I don't even understand what that means. Don is the smartest person you'll ever meet. I mean, right there, you should have said to yourself, what?
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, welcome to the show. You clicked on it. Ain't my fault. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to entertain you like some type of pathetic puppet for the next extended period of time. I hope you sit back and relax, enjoy this kind of thing. We're going to take a look at the odd things that are going on around us in the world and in the White House and in your pants, basically. That was uncalled for. I have to appeal to the lower standard human beings on the planet as well. It's how you do this. You know, you got to appeal to everybody. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. I've been doing this for 30 freaking years. What? Yeah, I've been in radio for 30 years. What the hell's wrong with me? Most people would say, wow, that's very impressive. No, there's something wrong with me. Don't you understand? Even that I know. Anyway, we're heard all over the place. It's actually very, very funny that I say that, not in a humorous way. We get charts every week as to where the show is listened to, what parts of the United States, and what parts of other countries actually listen to the show on a regular basis. That's the part that freaks me out, because I don't know why. Our listenership in the United Kingdom is quite high. But here's the odd part. We have about 2,000 subscribers. This is true. In Czechoslovakia. What the f... Why? Hi. Thank you. This blows my mind. We can be heard on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube every day. The Podbean Network, SoundCloud, the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, and Podbay, amongst other apps and platforms. And I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I've just rattled off things. I don't even know what they are. But we automatically appear on these things. So tell your friends about the show. I appreciate it. Not that I really care, to be honest with you, but I get paid to do this anyway, no matter whether you listen or not. So whatever. Okay. Man. Hi, by the way. Hi. Hello. I was talking to some friends yesterday. Yeah, they're friends. Sure. I don't know what the realm of that word means anymore. I really don't. I've talked about this before. Ever since Facebook came along and said that the people that follow you, that's stalking in my book, but whatever. See, now people follow you. And before there was Facebook, that was a cause to go to the police station and take out restraining orders. So I'm not getting this anymore. Anyway, Facebook is based on the number of friends that you have. Your friends number can be anywhere from 50 to 1,000 to 2,000 friends. And you ruined that entire term by calling these people friends. They are not even acquaintances. They are strangers who happen to be stalking you. They're following you. These are not friends. If I was walking down the street and some people were hiding in bushes watching my every move, I wouldn't say, hey, those are my friends. No, they're stalkers. Call the police. What the hell's wrong with us? We're just screwing up all the technology stuff and the social media. People are committing suicide based on comments made by social media friends. I mean, come on, man. Trolling, what the hell does that mean? My only definition of a troll is like in Fantasyland, if you go over a bridge, there's a troll there shaking the bridge so you fall off and collecting a toll. I don't even know what trolling is. There was a troll doll back in the 70s, I think it was, and everybody had it hang by its hair off the rearview mirror. Do you remember that? You're not old enough? You weren't born yet? Go on, make me feel old. So I was talking to some quote-unquote friends yesterday, and we were talking about tipping. Not cows, but servers. Not the kind of server that Hillary Clinton fooled with. I'm talking about in a restaurant. See, I can't call them waiters or waitresses because you're not supposed to. They're servers. They're serving you. You know, they're bowing down and serving you with various types of food products. But here was my question. When you go to a restaurant, we started with a bartender because that's who I was talking to. I said to her, let me ask you a question. I mean, and people aren't supposed to do this. Let me ask you a question. If I tip you, does that tip go in your pocket or does that go into like a big tip jar? And then at the end of the day or the end of the night, all the tips are split amongst the various bartenders that were working. And she said to me, well, in some place, if you're alone on the bar, yeah, you keep all the tips. But if someone else is behind the bar with you, no, we split the tips for the most part in most places. I said, Oh, no. Well, that is deceitful. Because when I tip somebody at the bar, when I tip the bartender, I'm tipping that particular person with the two eyes and the nose and the mouth. That's the person that served me. That's the person I'm tipping. Come to find out, I'm not doing that. I'm tipping everybody who is working behind the bar. That's not the intent of my tip. So what do I do now? So here's what she tells me. Here's how you get around that. And this floored my pants off, which is not a phrase, and it means nothing. It means that I was like just shocked. She said, what you do is you get an envelope and you put the money that you want for that particular person in the envelope and you hand them the envelope and then that is theirs. So now I got to go to restaurants and bars with envelopes in my pocket and a pen to address it with? What are you talking about?
Well, that's the way it works, Ron.
So then we carried the conversation into actual waiters and waitresses. Sorry to use those phrases. And when I'm tipping at a table, a waiter or waitress, I'm tipping them. No. not in all circumstances. Frequently, that tip goes into the tip pool, and at the end of the shift, they split it equally amongst those that are working. Well, how fair is that, I query to this person. And she says, well, it's not really fair at all, because some bartenders and some waiters and waitresses are extra good at what they do. They're engaging, they're pleasant, they're very efficient, they're attentive, and others aren't. They suck. They're not attentive, they're not good, they're bad. And yet they walk away with the same amount of money that you do in tips? No, tips are supposed to be extra for a particular individual performance. Okay, Ron, but that's not the way it really is in the real world, fantasy boy. Well, then there should be a sign over the bar or in the restaurant saying tips are split amongst all servers. That would make a difference. When I tip, I'm always tipping the individual, the one person, the one human being for which my money is directed in extra gratuity land. But I have to bring an envelope in order to properly do that, if that's my intent. This, my entire life, ladies and gentlemen, my entire life has been under false pretenses. My entire life. When I was old enough to tip, when I had my own money and went to a restaurant and tipped, that was the beginning of this psychological scam of a sham. I can't believe it. I've wasted my entire life tipping wrong. And nobody told me. There's no program. There's no course on this. There are no signs hanging up explaining the consequences of your tip. I'm not happy about this. I'm not happy about it at all. And as I've said on previous shows, frequently I will go to a restaurant and I will have an incredible meal. The food is like, they use the term to die for. No food is that good. I'm sorry. That food was really good. Now I'm prepared to die. Oh, I don't know how good that is. Seriously? You put that on the same level as living? Perhaps you're exaggerating a tad. I don't know. No, that food was to die for. Okay, you had the food. Let's see the dying part. Because you're an idiot saying things like that. Stupid. It's just a stupid thing. You should be under observation at a hospital, at a mental hospital, if you're going to say that you eat some wonderful food and that's worth dying for. They need to check you out to see if your brain is operating properly. Anyway, sometimes I will have an incredible meal in a restaurant, and I feel like saying, is there some way that I can tip the chef? Well, sure, Ron, I guess if you wanted me to bring some money back to the chef, I don't know that he's allowed to accept tips, but I could bring it back. Well, good, I'd like the chef to have this $5 tip for an incredible meal that he or she, I don't know, prepared. But the fact is, even if I tip the chef, there's a sous chef, there's a prep chef, there's probably a grill chef, or, you know, do they split a tip that I would give to the chef? You bet your ass they do. I can't anymore. If I give somebody a gift at Christmas time, my intent is to give it to that person as a Christmas gift. Do they go home and split the gift up amongst the rest of their family members? I think they do. Here, I got you this sweater.
Thank you. That's so nice of you.
2 weeks later, you see your sister wearing the same sweater. Hey, take that sweater off. That was not meant for you. That was meant for the person I gave it to, not her sister. Take the damn sweater off. The intent is what's important. It's a scam. It's a sham, ladies and gentlemen, as many things are. There should be a course in school that explains things they really are that you were getting wrong all this time. put the kids out of the room for a second. I want to talk to you about something. Get rid of the kids. Kids, I love you, but go elsewhere. Ooh, that should be a phrase on my tombstone. Kids, I love you, but go elsewhere, please. Okay, are they gone? Fine. I don't know if this happened to you. When I was growing up, my parents told me there was a Santa Claus and an Easter Bunny. You too? Freaking liars, man. There's no come to find out years later when I'm 37 that there was no Santa Claus. That was a fable. It was a freaking lie to shut me up. How dare you manipulate me like that? We were supposed to have a relationship of honesty and openness, and here you're lying to me for my entire childhood about a fictional character that brings me gifts. Screwed me up, man. And this Easter Bunny thing, I can't believe I bought that story. That's a stupid story that they're actually... I can see a man coming down my chimney dressed in a red suit. I've met crazy people. That's feasible. Flying through the air with the sled and the reindeer? Yeah, I just chose not to go there. But the Easter Bunny thing, that there's actually a rabbit that leaves Easter eggs and stuff, and I don't even know what the fable is. I'm so confused now. But all of a sudden, one of the woodland creatures becomes human and starts handing out eggs? What? I don't even understand what that means. Is chocolate good for bunnies? I don't even know. Why are you hiding plastic eggs, by the way? Something's wrong with somebody mentally, and I think it's you. I've been deceived through my entire life. Oh, my God. They told me when I was growing up that government will always take care of me, and government is super smart and has, like, this incredible knowledge of the most intelligent people on the planet are gathered in government. And they're all in Washington, D.C., talking to each other and making things wonderful every single day for the benefit of all of us. What a wonderful place to live. I bought that for such a long time. Then Trump became president. Now, I knew things were screwed up before Trump, but I got to thank you, Don. You brought it to the forefront. You guys are not only like trust, you, I can't even trust you. You're even like crooked. You're actually trying to manipulate me like some type of moronic puppet. And for a third of the country, they actually believe you. A third of the country says, I'll open my anus wide for you, stick your hand up and manipulate me. A third of this wonderful country is manipulated like some type of a puppet. Oh, my God. Thanks for letting me know, Don. If it hadn't been for you with your ultimate stupidity, surrounding yourself by people that are even stupider than you are, and that's virtually impossible. Thank you for being so honestly stupid. Thanks for tweeting your every thought and your every ugly, horrible idea in a tweet so we can all see into your brain and how pathetically fucked up you are. Thank you for that. And thank you, Nancy Pelosi. It's not a sad time in our history. It's a joyous time that things are being exposed and now can be corrected. And the next time somebody tries to do something corruptible, it'll be kind of noticed. It'll be obvious. Thank you. Joyous. Let's get it done. Anyway. All right, you're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. I don't know that you knew that. Perhaps you just showed up in the middle of this thing, which is virtually impossible. That's not the way the platform is set up. We have a great guest coming up on the show in just a few. In the meantime, this.
Here on the Ron Van Dam Show, our policy is anything goes.
Do not twist my nipples.
Okay, almost anything goes. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Podcast.
Thank you. Please hold your applause to the end of the program. It screws me up when you just applaud like that for no reason whatsoever. I appreciate it, but it screws me up, so let's stop doing that. We do have a great guest coming up rather shortly. In the meantime, I do notice every once in a while when I do this show that I'm totally ignoring you. And that's on purpose, because there's no way to interact with you. It shouldn't be like that, by the way. I'm not Alexa here. I'm not listening in on your conversations or watching you have sex that you know of. So we have no relationship. We have no, there's no two-way street going on here. I cannot hear you. I cannot see you. I don't know who you are. Okay. Even if you're one of my Facebook friends, well, that's virtually impossible because I don't let anybody friend me. Now it's a verb. You see, now this is part of how we're just screwing everything up. Now the word friend, which is a noun, a friend, not only have we boggled up its definition, but we now have turned it into a verb. Yes, she friended me. What? How does somebody friended you? How does somebody friend you? They can become your friend, but to verbally, literally as a verb, friend you makes no sense whatsoever. There is no such thing. Stop it. Just stop it. Look, here's the best advice I have for you. Stop it. Just stop it.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel and a schmear?
No.
But you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing?
That's possible.
You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her, so live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
They also split the tips there, too. Dr. Samantha,
hey, great.
Dr. Samantha Meltzer Brody joins us. She is an MPH, professor and director of, well, I can't even pronounce this. Well, she does a lot of things. Let's put it that way. And Tom Marinello, who also does a lot of things. He's head of patient services at Sage Therapeutics. All right, we're talking about postpartum depression. Men don't quite understand this. I guess for a man, if you lose your job or your girl breaks up with you, that's depressing. This is different. This has to do with actual body chemistry that reacts to this event. Am I accurate in saying that?
Yes, I think that postpartum depression is unique in that it surrounds the time of childbirth.
All right.
So for women that have postpartum depression, symptoms may start in pregnancy and or postpartum. They can markedly worsen postpartum. It is one of the most common medical complications of childbirth.
Yeah.
It affects 10 to 15% of all women that give birth. And importantly, it has really serious consequences for the mom, baby, and family. So for the woman's partner,
sure,
husband, it's very, very difficult when a mom is suddenly struggling with these kinds of symptoms, and it can be a very confusing and upsetting time for family.
Okay. But, I mean, what I said is it's not like it's Christmas time and it's exciting and then it's not Christmas. That's psychological. This is something that, this is a body chemistry creation. Is that accurate?
Well, I think that while the exact cause of postpartum depression is not known, we do believe that postpartum depression can be caused by hormonal changes,
so it is a
medical complication.
Right.
So it's the hormonal changes of pregnancy and postpartum, underlying genetic contributions, and certainly psychosocial factors can also play a role. But I believe what you're talking about is hormonal contributions that happen during pregnancy to postpartum.
Okay. All right. What symptoms do you look for that would definitely underline this as opposed to just, you know, having gone through a big experience and now you're exhausted?
It's a great question. So postpartum depression, you have very low mood, fearfulness, sadness. It can also have anxiety, worry, ruminating thoughts, mm-hmm. feeling overwhelmed, not wanting to be interacting with the baby. And at the worst case, you can have suicidal thoughts.
So, okay.
To your point, you know, it's a big transition time having a new baby. This is not just what was often called the baby blues or just the adjustment.
Yeah.
This is a major depressive episode where you really see impairment functioning that can be very, very serious.
Okay. Now, Tom, I assume there was a time where that was recognized and you just kind of tried to chill out as much as you could and maybe take a couple of aspirin or something. But that's not the case anymore. Now it's recognized as a real thing. And as technology, medical technology advances, we actually have medication for this, I understand?
We do. So it's Zulresso, which is the first and only product approved for to treat postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is there's support available, right? So we have Sage Central Support, which is a team of dedicated case managers, call them our Sage Central Navigators, that work directly with these women and their families. As Dr. Meltzer Brody pointed out, there are many unique challenges and circumstances that go along with postpartum depression.
Yeah.
One of those that it impacts not just the mom, but it oftentimes impacts the spouse, the loved ones, the family members.
Oh, yeah.
It's working with that entire family, right, to navigate the pathways to care, understand insurance coverage, any financial assistance options they may be eligible for, as well as finding other sources of support that are available in their local community or nationally. And we do have a website for it, which is sagecentralsupport.com, which outlines all of these resources that are available for women and their families.
When do these signs begin, and how long can they go on for if you don't treat it?
So postpartum depression, the symptoms can begin during pregnancy. Again, you often will see onset postpartum. Uh-huh. It can mark worse than postpartum, and it can persist. So if untreated, it can last months, it can last years, which is why it's so important if a mom is suffering and having significant symptoms, she needs to reach out to her doctor and discuss appropriate treatment options. Zulresso is, you know, a newly approved medication. It is one tool in the toolbox, and a discussion with someone's doctor to understand what is the most appropriate treatment option and figuring out what will work best for the woman and her family.
Right. And as any medication is the case, you have to qualify in the sense that you're not preconditioned to have certain effects, or you may have conditions already that may interact with medication. So this is definitely you can't get it without a doctor, but you do need to be upfront about that. Is that right?
Absolutely. So, you know, all treatments require a discussion with a patient and her doctor to discuss the risk benefits and decide what's the most appropriate choice for any individual patient. So that's always very, very important.
Okay. All right. Where do we go for information and even just to discuss this? For support and then get into this. Where do some places to go?
Sure. So I'll say one of the first ones is statecentralsupport.com, which outlines, again, all of those resources I talked about earlier, as well as keeps the directory and the database of many sources of support within the local and national.
Okay, that's Sage Central.
It's a great advocacy group.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it's also a great advocacy group.
All right. And the name of the medication again is?
Zulresso.
Could you spell that, please?
Sure. Zulresso.
All right. So a patient can bring up these things with their doctors, you know. You can also be an advocate for yourself besides waiting just to hear what's recommended for you. It's a two-way street. Okay. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you need to press on and get the word out. And thank you so much for your time with us today.
Thanks for having.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, you've been great today. Oh my God. How do you do it? How do you maintain your greatness while listening to this program at the same time? That is like, wow. You can chew gum and do other things at the same time. Never understood that phrase. Yeah, I can read and chew gum at the same time. Yeah, everybody can. What are you talking about? What are you saying? I can multitask. Then say multitask. Stop giving me the stupid example with the gum thing. Stop with the chewing gum example. Everybody can do something else while they're chewing gum, except probably eat. But some people can probably eat and chew their food and the gum at the same time. That would be a little impressive. But yeah, I can walk and chew gum. Everybody can. What if someone can't walk and chew gum, then they've got a problem. How are you touting that as being a wonderful thing that you can do? What? What? Thanks for friending me. We're out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you've enjoyed this. I don't know. Whatever. I wish you peace. Big Finish. Come on, everybody sing along. Big Finish.